Halo Falava.
Maloa Lele.
I'm Adri.
And I'm Hefo.
And
welcome to the Speak On It podcast.
Today, we will be talking about public spaces, the way they impact the city, and the direct impacts that come to mind. Our goal with these conversations are to uplift Pacifica Te and create a shared space.
Let's ground ourselves in this conversation by checking in. Today's check-in question is, what's a public place in San Francisco that makes you feel like a kid again?
You look very excited to answer, so I want to know.
I am, because my first answer is Crocker Amazon Park, or better known as
the Purple Park.
Yeah. a lot of times it would be either me being at the park with my dad.
Right.
And the other times it would be with my sister supporting her for her softball games, because she used to go to Big Viz. And since they didn't have a baseball field, they used Crocker as their field.
I went to Big Viz, and yeah. I also played softball.
Ooh, what number?
Don't worry about it. But my answer to the question would definitely be the Exploratorium, because if you grew up in the San Francisco Unified School District,
right,
SFUSD, a lot of our field trips were, I'm going to say, to the same places.
Right.
One of those being the Exploratorium or Davie Symphony, even going to the Pier, the DeYoung Museum, Academy of Sciences. Anyways, all that to say, the Exploratorium has always been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I was so fascinated with this world of science and technology. However, it was very overwhelming, being that it's such a large place. But now that I'm older, as an adult, I have like a new profound appreciation. I love going to the Exploratorium.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear my sisters are going on a field trip there, I be trying to volunteer as a chaperone so bad.
So is it the field trip for you or them?
It's for the both of us. But there's just something about being engaged with different types of tech. I don't know.
Like, right.
It's just, I love it. Maybe I'm like a little geek about it, but hot take, the Exploratorium is better than the Academy of Sciences in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if I agree with that.
And that's okay.
We can agree to disagree, I guess. Actually, I don't know. Every time that I went to the Academy of Sciences and the Exploratorium, I remember going, but it feels like a fever dream, if that makes sense. Because I really remember being in that space. I just don't remember anything other than entering and then
exiting,
right?
Right.
I feel like another public place that makes me feel like a kid again. I don't know if anybody knows about it, but it's the Rutland Greenway.
What is that?
So it's on Rutland Street in the Visitation.
Right.
And basically, it's kind of, at the bottom, it's a park, right? There's like a play structure, but there's also like a greenway. And it's kind of like a little trail, right, that goes all the way up. And I think it's like 2 blocks long, but it's like on the hill. And it makes me feel like a kid again because I grew up in the Visitation during like my high school years.
Right.
And it would be kind of an excuse for my sister and I to get out the house because technically I was still at the age to my parents where I would want to go to the park. But yeah, and it's really pretty. I take my kids there now too. So yeah, those are two places that make me feel like a kid again.
I would say my second one, I wanted to say the Pier, but if I had to like focus on somewhere more specifically, probably the aquarium.
Wow.
The Aquarium of the Bay.
Right, right.
There's just something, like I said, so fascinating to be curious about, you know, whatever it is you're looking at or something you see, and then reading the little plaques that have the information. And that was my experience growing up as a kid. Like, if you were to ask your teacher on a field trip, oh, what is this? What is this? And they're like, okay, let's take a look at this and read. And then, you know, ask someone, oh, can you read this part? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that experience. It reminds me of being a kid so much.
I think another one that reminds, or not reminds me, actually, no, it reminds me that I've grown up is seeing McLaren. Mm. But not, like, any part of McLaren. It's specifically where the water tower is.
I thought you was going to say the duck pond.
I would say the duck pond, but, like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time at the duck pond. I spent more time at the dog park.
She's lying, guys. She would sit there and feed the birds when it said don't.
First of all, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. There's no evidence. But, no, I always spent time at the dog park because, for one, it was close to my house at the time. Mm-hmm. And then, two, it was right by school. So, a whole lot of times during senior year, what do you call it? During free periods, I would go over there.
Right.
But it's also the place where my brother would force me to work out.
And that's a story for another time. To kick off our first segment, tell me something good.
Hey, Adri, bring it back.
Right.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the positive impacts of public spaces. When I think of public spaces, my mind immediately goes to, like, museums, mm-hmm. libraries, or even parks. And I feel like I also think of tourism.
Right.
And even though that's something, you know, debatable whether or not it's a positive or a negative.
Right.
I'd like to highlight the fact it generates economic activity, which is a plus.
Right. Right.
And, of course, you know, I mentioned in our check-in the Exploratorium.
Right.
I can imagine when people visit here from out of city or out of state, they go there.
Right.
Because what an experience. I'm a little biased.
Well, I feel like at the same time, it is a good experience, like with public spaces. Even if we're not talking about the Exploratorium, even places like the Palace of Fine Arts or the Japanese Tea Garden, you know, like places that are able to not only give experience, but also hold memories. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody I knew in high school took their pictures at the Palace of Fine Arts.
Me too.
I didn't either. I didn't get the chance to.
Right.
If it wasn't prom pictures, it was grad pictures.
Right.
The Japanese Tea Garden was also one too.
Right.
And I think I seen somebody who did theirs in, like, Golden Gate Park. Mm-hmm. Which, again, the utilization of public spaces really varies. Mm-hmm. But it's dependent on whoever chooses to move forward with it.
Right. I also feel like tourism is a good thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to economic wealth.
Right.
You have to keep these public places nice, you know, nice.
Maintained.
And maintained.
Right.
Which is also a good thing when it comes to public places, like the creation of new spaces. Mm. Because not only do they revamp it to make it practical or, you know, look pretty, but it's also a new space for the community to take use of. Right?
It encourages social engagement.
Yeah, which is a thing we need.
I mean, if you were at a park, mm-hmm. what's your immediate thought? Like, what are you doing there?
My immediate thought is barbecuing, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't remember a time where I went to the park without having a barbecue.
Yeah.
So for a lot of times, it's for birthdays, right? Or the 4th of July. For us, it's usually for family reunions.
Hmm.
So it's like a place for us to get together and just appreciate each other as a family.
Yeah, and I know there are certain spaces where, like, you know, there's no cost. You right. do have to, like, reserve it, but it's mostly, like, a first come, first serve. Yeah, right. basis. And I think of, if it's free, then it's for me.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
And to be able to have a space that can accommodate such a large group of people.
Right.
Because I can imagine your family's.
Yeah.
There's a lot of you.
There's a lot.
Same here. So, what better place to be than out in the open?
Right. I mean, it also promotes people to kind of take advantage of the outdoors because there's a lot of hiking trails, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
In their health and wellness era.
Right.
I mean, personally, I'd like to go on a little bit more hikes. Yeah. Okay, a lot of it.
But where would you go?
To be determined. Mm. I can imagine, though, just having accessibility to it. I did mention I live near McLaren, and I always see people hiking, walking their dogs, jogging with their strollers.
Man.
It's such an inspiration to me.
I give it to those who jog with their kids in the stroller, because that's a lot.
Right.
Because you got to navigate the freaking stroller as well as yourself.
Yeah, see, that's something I hope to aspire to be. But with that being said, I love seeing people out, especially when the weather permits. When the weather's good, everybody be out.
Yeah, I also feel like just taking the hike is really good, too.
Yeah.
I think at one point during COVID, that was one thing that I did a whole lot, was just like hiking up and down McLaren, which is hard.
Free.
Right.
It's free. Like,
right.
The fact people can utilize these places without having to worry to cover a cost.
Right.
I think it just kind of elevates the space itself.
Right. I also think, too, by the time that you're done with the hike or when you get to the top of the of a certain point,
right,
it's just like a good feeling to kind of be able to look at the city as well. Or even if it's like, you know, sunset or if you're doing a workout in the morning, it's just nice to have this scenery at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have gone on a hike before. Mm-hmm. I considered it a hike. I'm not sure if everyone else would, but Maury Point in Pacifica. So not in the city, but it was difficult. It was difficult because it had just rained the day before, and then it started raining like mid-hike.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was very muddy. But all that to say, yes, when I got to the top and I felt the breeze and I was just listening to the waves crash on the beach, I felt like I was on top of the world. I just felt so energized.
Right.
And I think because that's a public space, it's something I would do again.
Right. I also like the fact that it doesn't have to just be me that can feel like that.
Right.
And this reminds me, I don't know why, I'm just thinking of like Park and Rec as well. Because of, you know, I believe it's Fatasi where they're having gym nights at Balenga.
Yeah.
So yes.
I remember they used to utilize Visitation Valley Middle School as well, the gym.
Yeah.
But even with that, like Fatasi Youth Services empowering the health and wellness of people.
Right.
Or of folks in the community, I should say.
Yeah, because I think I was remembering Park and Rec. They also have the opportunity for young people to be an intern at Park and Rec. Or there's just like the whole idea of public spaces opening up opportunities for young people to be able to work there.
Yeah, I also think of MAYEEP.
Right.
Which recently I learned stands for the Mayor's Youth Employment and Education Program.
I'm not going to lie. I never knew that it was an acronym until now.
Right. But with that being said, I know the Academy of Sciences, the Exploratorium, several community organizations, and maybe even Parks and Rec themselves try to have these internships available to get the youth exposed to the workforce.
Right.
But also it's like an area of interest where normally youth wouldn't consider, or at least when I was a youth, I didn't consider it. But it seems like such a dope opportunity. You're getting engaged with everyone.
Right, with your community.
Yes, yeah. Sorry. That was poorly worded.
No, yeah, it's so, I don't know. I used to always want to take advantage of moments like that. But my parents were always good with kind of making sure I'm focused on my studies.
Right.
So that was what I always wanted to do. But I feel like it's good for youth to have that now.
Another thing that comes to mind when we're talking about public spaces, I passed by a mural on my walk over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the outside of the building.
Oh.
Yeah. And it just made me think, about like murals or like the locations of murals.
Right.
Because these are areas that are assumed to be heavily traveled by the public.
Right.
So seeing a mural, you're kind of like, I wonder what that's about. Or, I should go check out this space. Or sometimes people even visit a certain location just to see the mural.
Which is wonderful. Honestly, I feel like it's good to have murals because it shows that there's creativity in a space.
Yeah.
And the creativity that comes from the mural, it also has a story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think of, well, it's very close to home, but at the San Juan Community Development Center, we do have the Pacifica Excellence mural. And every day on my way to work or driving to work, I pass by it. And recently, I visited the South of Market, the SoMa area. And I took a trip to the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, YBCA.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of Filipino cultural murals because that is the Filipino cultural district.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. It was for a class that I'm taking.
No. Yeah. That's actually, I didn't even know that.
It was beautiful to see a record of the historical moments that contributed to the Filipino-American community.
Okay, we might need to go.
Yeah, no.
I've never been.
But one of their murals, it's also on the side of, like, a building. I was so infatuated with it. Like, I literally took my time to stand there and look at all the different folks that were featured. But all that to say, I didn't have to pay for anything. It's something I could visit again. Because it's geared towards the public.
Right.
And I feel like that is such a positive.
So I visit the Mission often. And if there's one thing that the Mission is known for, it's for the amount of murals that they have in their neighborhood.
Right.
Which I feel like is such a flex, you know, to be a district that is about creativity and to be about beauty. And you know, if there's one thing that the murals do for the neighborhood, it gives them a sense of identity. Yeah.
I would like to say, or I would like to argue that even graffiti is the reclamation of spaces by the public and community.
Right. I agree.
You agree?
I definitely agree.
Right.
A lot of the main reason is because, you know, I like graffiti. I like the art. And I also grew up with friends that do graffiti as well.
Right.
And my best friend, he also does it as well. I think just art in general is beautiful, you know? And I feel like if you're going to be able to take, or not even take, but just reclaim a public space, especially in this time now, right, with gentrification. And, you know, you live in the Mission, right? But you have people that are trying to take it from you, even though you're a native here.
Yeah.
And, you know, with generations of lineage, of course you're going to want to reclaim it. And I feel like art is the best way because it's loud, it's visible, and it gives a sense of you. Whenever you, you know, whenever you do your art.
Kind of like you left your mark.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I also think public transit is another public space that comes to mind.
Man, I didn't even know it was a public space until somebody mentioned it.
Yeah, like Muni, BART.
Right. The train. Or even Caltrain.
Samtrans.
Samtrans.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Something about it, the fact that we have access to these different forms of transportation, and this is something we did mention in a previous episode.
Right.
But having the option, either I could walk, or maybe I could take the 8 to the M, or I could take BART, like, just having a variety.
Yeah. I also feel like it's also where I hold a lot of my memories as well. You know, because You used to take muni to
school. Yeah, before I started driving, yes.
And then I feel like also it's just where you kind of see people. I always see somebody that I know on the bus. So it's, I don't know, it shows how small the city really is.
I would people watch on the bus.
People watch?
Yes, because when I was going to high school, when I was going to Lowell High School, I would have to take the 8 from my house and ride it to the last stop. So, you know, people are getting on, people are getting off. But I would just sit there and watch. Watch people, you know, come through. Sometimes people would be on their phone, listening to music, talking to each other in their own languages. And it was so fascinating to not be on my phone, to not be in the moment, just to watch it.
I remember back then on BART, there was always like
the performers.
Yeah, BART performers. And I remember too, like if you go downtown and you're trying to hop either BART or like the 8 or the 9, there's always that time where there's like performers right by the stops. And it's always either a band, the guy that is always drumming on like different buckets and pots and pans, and then there's always somebody singing. I swear, every time.
For me, being on the bus or on Muni, there was always that one person who just came in with a speaker hecka loud.
Man.
Like, it was so loud and, you know, everyone's turning to look at them.
But it's always they playing the best laps.
Yeah, you just can't even be mad at it. You're like, oh, man, low-key, turn that up.
No, for real. I'd just be looking and I'd be like, yeah, there's no point of earphones because, you know. Which is good, though, because it gives a sense of, like, I don't know. For me, it feels like the city's never boring.
Yeah, and when I was doing, like, a little surface research on what's considered public spaces in San Francisco, government establishments, like City Hall, are considered to be public spaces because, you know, they do have to be open for public comment.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, you have a pathway to advocacy.
Right.
If it's something that you're passionate about. Yeah. In addition to that, people also get married there.
It's so pretty. It's always either that I see someone taking their wedding pictures or somebody taking quinceañera pictures.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I love that. The dresses are so pretty every single time.
Yes, so I would frequent going to City Hall because I was part of the mayor's youth commission.
Oh, really? Me too.
Representing District 10, of course.
Right.
But you're right. Sometimes I would arrive there, and right on the steps, there's like multiple photographers, different people getting their images taken. And I would feel so bad because I'm like, damn, like, you know, my bad. I'm all up in your picture and everything. But that just goes to show how much of the public utilizes it.
Yeah, I think one thing that sticks out to me when it comes to City Hall, it's a memory of mine. You were there too. It was during the budget cuts for DCYF.
Right.
And I remember everybody coming out. So different centers like SCDC was there, AMU, FATASI. Yeah, like we were all there making a public comment about the budget, and I remember it because, one, I recorded it all, and it was just beautiful to see everybody advocate for their space, especially Fatonu, or Auntie Patsy, or for those that really don't know, Dr. Patsy Tito. It was just beautiful to really just be in community and in a different space, and also just us talking in a different tone, because, you know, like, PIs were always friendly, but if there's one thing about us is that we stand on business when it comes to our people.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful experience to be in solidarity with everyone. And I'm not even going to lie, we were waiting in that line for a minute.
Yeah.
I just remember spending majority of our day there, but that's the reality of it.
All right, let's switch it up. It's time for the clock it portion of the podcast. We are going to give our negative takes about when it comes to public spaces.
Yeah.
So to mention, I feel like the amount of public spaces that we do have in District 10, mm-hmm. right? I feel like there's a lack of mentioning because for me, I don't know much other than, you know, SCDC, Southeast. There's also the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yes.
There's also the Bayview Opera House.
Right.
And then, of course, there's Muni around. I think what I'm kind of guessing is, like, places like hospitals or schools. I know for sure that we don't have any college spaces in D10 other than the CCSF Evans campus.
Yeah, and I feel like nobody goes there.
I don't have any classes there.
Everyone goes to, like, the ocean one.
It's either Ocean or Mission.
Yeah, I've been to the Mission one, too. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, me too.
But every time I pass the one on Evans, I'm kind of like...
I don't know where it is.
I passed it. Okay, I could be wrong, but I think it's near the post office.
Oh.
Yeah. There's, like, a post office, and I just passed by it. But all that to say, I do agree. There are a lack of public spaces within District 10. I just feel like the distribution...
is kind of off-putting.
Yeah, like, it's not equal.
Right.
There are certain places in the city that have more. But all that to say, I think this is something we can advocate for in the future. Or maybe it's in progress. Like, you know, we're recording right now at the Hub.
Right.
And this is something, a new project, a new addition to the community.
Right.
So I foresee in our future that District 10 will, or I'm hopeful, District 10 will receive more public spaces.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that, like, I want to change the fact that nobody knows about these spaces.
Right. And even the location and placement of some. Like, I recall asking someone to tell me about a place they visited in District 10. And they were like, oh, like, it's in the Cuts. And I was like, crazy. In the Cuts?
In the, like, Cuts is crazy. But, like, it's so real.
I know what you mean by in the Cuts, but could you try to describe the location?
Right.
Like, is there a certain place I need to turn? Do I need to walk to get there? But even with that, I feel like accessibility or even awareness is an issue, and that's something that I'd like to clock because why should it be so hard to find these places?
Right. And on top of that, it's like, not only is it hard to find these places, but it's hard to get any information about it as well.
Yeah, and...
unless you know where to look, right?
And then there's also, like, I'm probably thinking more towards public parks than in regards to this, but poor design or the lack of usability. Let's say hypothetically, there's a park, right?
Right.
There's a park. And it's a beautiful park. There's a lot of stuff for the kids to do. But there's no streetlights there.
How do you not know? How do you got no streetlights?
Or it's in a dimly lit area.
I don't like that.
And I personally feel like I wouldn't go there because of that.
Well, yeah. And it's like...
it's defeating the purpose.
Right.
If you want folks to use a space...
you have to maintain it.
Yeah. And you also have to... adjust the needs.
Right.
To meet.
Yeah, to meet your community halfway. Like, it only makes sense. I feel the part when you were talking about, like, usability.
Yeah.
I feel like the nearest park to me, other than, I feel like it's called where the MLK pool is at.
That's the closest one to you?
Yeah, that's the closest park to me. But the reason why I don't take my kids there is because the play structure isn't equipped for toddlers.
Oh, even age ranges. I didn't think about that.
Because it's a lot of play... like, the play structure has a whole lot of, like, climbing and high...
high climbing
activities. Yeah, and my kids are so small and... fragile. I don't know. Yeah, very fragile.
Even with that, it's like we need to keep in mind, in terms of public spaces, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be targeted to a certain age range, or right. it can be considerate of it.
Right.
But...
yeah, because there's, like, no option.
If it's only geared towards a certain amount of people, then it's like, oh, what about the rest of the community? How right. are they going to utilize this space?
Because there is the swimming pool, but, like, I'm not really comfortable with that. Mm. On top of the fact that the play structure, and then the only other thing that's an option for my kids is a grass field.
But if you're allergic, then...
I am allergic, especially during the summer or the spring. Like, I can't really be outside in the grass.
Right.
The only other park that I'm thinking of is Hilltop Park, which is crazy because not a whole lot of youth use it.
Is that the one with the basketball court?
It's the one with the skate park.
Okay.
Yeah, so Hilltop Skate Park. Because there's a skate park, and then there's, like, a grass field, but then there's also a play structure, which does, you know, accommodate for my kids, but it's, like, nobody uses it. I don't ever see anybody over there unless they're teenagers, right? Which I don't know if it's because of where it's placed mm-hmm. or because of the fact that, you know, when it gets dark, it gets dark. There's no streetlights.
Yeah. But one thing I can say, and this is something I'm kind of clocking right now while we're having this conversation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is that the community of District 10 does a really great job of using what they have available.
Right.
And by that, I mean the lack of public spaces never really affected the residents, or it did. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say never, but they found ways around that. And right. I'm thinking, like, you know, congregating in the street.
Bro, yes.
By in the street, I mean, like, you know, double parked cars and, you know, everyone's posted up outside mm-hmm. of, like, you know, a liquor store or something. But, like, those moments, it's like you didn't need a public space to be in community.
Right. You may do.
Would it be helpful? Absolutely.
Man.
But there are ways to... just continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And D10 definitely does that.
Yeah, D10 definitely does that.
Block it.
Now that I really think about it, you're right.
Absolutely.
I think it's just something I never really thought of.
Like, there's this man. He lives down the street from me. He be opening up his, I want to say, like, backyard, fence area. The guy that barbecues down the street.
Yeah.
I always see him barbecuing. And I'm like, see, people will stop by to support and everything. But he never needed a facility to do that. He could do that.
From his backyard.
From the comfort of his own place. Mm. And that's what I'm saying. It's like public spaces are completely a benefit. Mm-hmm. However, when you are lacking a public space...
right.
That doesn't mean you're not doing what you need to be doing already.
Which is real.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. And it's crazy because sometimes I can smell his barbecue from where I stay.
And it just smells good every time.
He's out. Like, I just know he's out. So shout out to that individual. We appreciate you. We see you.
So just a final thought. I did want to talk about the homeless or unhoused crisis in public spaces.
Right.
There's this thing called hostile architecture, which is an urban design structure that is intentionally utilizing elements of the build to deter unwanted behavior, including the unhoused community, but also skaters.
You are a... former skater or current skater.
No, yes. And it's so annoying because usually, like, skating doesn't really harm anybody.
Right.
And it doesn't really do anything to the community, or it's not even, like, a safety hazard. I feel like a whole lot of skaters are very aware when it comes to, you know, people, objects in their area because of the fact of, like, you know, the other person's safety, but also their own.
Yeah.
And the architecture that I'm kind of mentioning is things like spikes or bark barks. Spikes are bars on benches.
Yeah.
Also with like sloped surfaces or railings, planters, and those super thin, narrow benches.
You know, it's crazy because now that I think of it, there are a lot of signs that kind of prohibit skaters, but there's also signs in which indirectly are saying that they don't want unhoused folks to utilize this as a place of rest.
Yes.
And I have seen a couple of, I want to say businesses or just like areas downtown that have these spikes.
Yeah, a perfect example that I'm pretty sure everybody knows is Union Square.
Mm.
Another one would be the Metreon downtown, which is on Mission Street and 5th? No, 4th Street and Mission.
Right.
Union Square is, you know, it's on Powell. It's right by the Macy's and the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
But yes, things like this kind of cause, especially for skaters, because of the friends that I have, when it comes to skating as a hobby, it turns into a lifestyle because you can make anything into something skatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's multiple skate parks around San Francisco, right? But when it comes to specifically skaters in District 10, a lot of them have to travel to the Mission to by SF General. I'm not even sure what that neighborhood, well, it is technically the Mission, but most of the skate parks are like the life of skating is in the Mission due to the fact that in District 10 there's just not a lot of options. And it's also the fact of the architecture that people are prohibiting skaters to kind of just do what they love. For those that are unhoused, it's just unfortunate because where else can they go?
Yeah, I think something that I want to clock in terms of the unhoused community, you know, existing within public spaces is that if your immediate concern is whether or not they're going to utilize it as a place of rest,
mm-hmm.
and you intentionally put up these measures of, let's be real, defense to kind of force them to go away.
Yeah.
Then there's obviously a need for better programming or more programming.
Or even just resources to help the unhoused.
Yes.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense because of the fact that, you know, you can use all this money, right, for these quote-unquote defenses.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to money given to programs for these people, it's like scarce to none.
Yeah.
And the crisis with just unhoused folks in San Francisco is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish San Francisco as a city would just take more of an initiative to finding ways to help them instead of trying to shift them somewhere else so that they can create a way to make money off of, you know, a space looking pretty. Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, it's crazy too, because this makes me think of when they had the
Apex.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Yes.
I really don't understand what everybody was really talking about when they were like, Apex really cleaned our streets. They just moved them down the street.
Yeah, so APEC stands for Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they had like a conference here either last year or the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, in order to make the city of San Francisco appear presentable, a lot of unhoused folks were forced out of their place of inhabitants just so the people visiting here wouldn't think we have like a homeless or unhoused crisis,
which is weird because I feel like a lot of people, especially those that are not in California, or even those that aren't in SF, like, they already know there's a housing crisis.
It's nothing to beat around the bush about.
Right. And it's just common sense. If rent is going up, of course you're going to have a rise of unhoused folks. Mm-hmm. Because for one, the cost of living just is too high.
Period.
And it's just unfortunate that instead of approaching issues like the cost of living, homelessness, and the lack of resources and programs for the citizens of SF, you're more worried about if we're presentable to, I mean, what, executives, CEOs, representatives, and for what? It just doesn't make sense. The real purpose and the real issue is what should be a priority.
To sum things up from today's episode, the positive impacts of public spaces include generating economic activity, making that money, increasing public health and wellness for the community, getting active, and then social engagement through activities of recreation. We outside. The negative impacts, however, are poor design, location and placement of such public spaces, and the inequitable distribution of these assets. When we're talking about public spaces, there is a range of experiences from both positive and negative. However, talking about Pacific Islander Tay, we make do with what's available to us, especially with public spaces. I think that can attest to not only our character, but also the resilience of District 10 residents.
And we got a little challenge for our listeners in the Stand On Business segment, where you are able to join us in taking action. This week, we challenge you to visit a public space that holds memories of nostalgia for you. If there's been any changes to this space, ask yourself, one, are these improvements the benefit for the community space? And then two, do they take away from the original beauty? Also, bonus points if you take a picture and tag us at BigPur_SF on Instagram with the hashtag SpeakItIntoExistence.
That's all the time that we have for today, but please keep tapping in and check out the rest of our season, which should be available to you now. I'm Adri.
And I'm Hefo.
Thank you for listening to the Speak On It podcast.
This episode is made possible by the Samoan Community Development Center in partnership with the Pacifica Urban Roots Collaborative and funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. A big thank you to the Hub SF, our sound engineer DJ Bulao, and our producer Daniel Danny Boy Nahave'evalu. To learn more about the SPEAK program, visit scdcsf.org and click on the Community Research tab. There, you can access our report.